Well, Nance, maybe it's just my perception, but it kind of seems like ramen noodle shops are now displacing all of those teriyaki joints that we used to have all around town. Am I wrong or what?
Well, you might be exaggerating, Stein, but it's starting to feel that way with so many new ramen places opening in and around Seattle. Last week, I had the great good fortune of being able to hang out with Ryo Ezawa. Ryo is the guy who owns Samurai Noodle. It's one of three now ramen noodle shops here in Seattle. It's long been my favorite place to get a big, rich bowl of ramen noodles.
Why is it your favorite?
Well, I think it's because I got turned on to his tonkatsu, the very porky, fatty broth that just makes me crazy. And one of the nice things is they're actually making their own ramen noodles. So if you go to the Broadway store on Capitol Hill where we were hanging out, you get to watch. There's a woman named Julia who works full time in the window making two different types of ramen noodles, the wavy kind that are made with egg, and then the special noodles that are straight for the tonkatsu.
So did you learn anything or did you just watch and eat?
I learned a lot more about ramen than I knew.
Like
and
what?
Like the reason I love that particular tonkatsu style, the kata style tonkatsu, is because it's just pork bones, right? So they have these huge, like you could bathe a baby in these stock pots. And there are three of them. I went back in the kitchen. One had been running for about 6 hours, one for 20 hours, and another for 30 hours. So it's just water and pork bones. One of the cool things that Ryo-san showed me was he pulled one of the big bones out of the stock, okay? It was really hot. Showed me that you can still see the marrow, which is what's giving it all that mouthfeel, all that great flavor. And then he cooled it off just slightly, took the bone and just crumbled it in his hand, which obviously is something you can only do after it's been cooking so long.
Or unless you've really been working out. Well, you know, I made a pretty strong broth myself this last weekend, and I used a whole bunch of pork and chicken bones, pork hocks, split trotters, neck bones, and a whole bunch of chicken backs and wings, along with a little piece of ginger and some green onions. Dipped out everything after it had all been simmering about 7 or 8 hours. Put it in the fridge overnight, defatted it in the morning, you could just lift off that disc of fat, and did the same thing all over again, new bones, everything, only with the addition of some dried scallops and some dried shrimp, and then defatted it again overnight. You know, I usually pour this through a cheesecloth. Andrea Wynn uses muslin. But this time, there was so much gelatin in that stock that I was able to upend it. It just stood straight up, like that model mountain in Encounters of the Third Kind, you know? And all the rest of that sediment had settled to the bottom, which was now on the top, and I just sliced it off. And that broth was as clear as crystal.
Well, you know, this is what makes me laugh, because this is the difference he was saying about this particular broth, just white and cloudy, is the idea is all the fat should be in there. And I was reading Ivan Orkin. Do you know about Ivan Ramen? Ivan Orkin is the guy, American guy from New York.
Went to Japan and opened.
Opened a great place there. He also has one in New York City now. Yeah. So here's what he says, which is just perfect. He said, in Western kitchens, we're taught to painstakingly remove the fat from our stocks and soups. But in Japan, we painstakingly add it. That fat is what gives ramen its mouthfeel and its body and its umami. And it's what causes the soup to stick to the noodles. Yeah. And if it doesn't stick to the noodles, you got nothing.
With KPLU food talker Nancy, listen, I'm Dick Stein.